Well, good morning, everyone. Based on what transpired this morning, just a quick recap. At around 4:30, or just after 4:30 this morning, the advancing flow did enter into a private property, a residential area. It didn't affect any structures initially, and it did enter into the corner, the southwest corner of a particular parcel on the upper end of the subdivision. The front advanced about 20 yards by about 8 o'clock this morning. So over the course of about 3.5-4 hours, it went about 20 yards. It was very slow moving. The front that was coming down has extended or advanced roughly 87 yards. So we're rounding that up to 90 yards since yesterday morning. Based on that, if you divided it out in the 24-hour period, we're looking at under 4 yards per hour. But what has been observed through the night, and again, it's an opportunity for me to say thanks to HVO because they've been on the ground around the clock. Their geologists and scientists have been on the ground monitoring the flow advancement and all activities. What they did notice through the night is that we had periods of rapid movement or rapid advancement as well as periods of stalling or very slow movement. And that explains or gives some idea of why we didn't see a very large number because it wasn't spurts. Right now, the flow has advanced since this morning at around 8 o'clock, another maybe 30 yards. The current estimated advancement rate is about 10 yards per hour. Going back to this morning's location at that time, it put it at 510 yards from the Pohoa Village Road. The terrain in the property that it's in, it's a little bit of a slope, so we're watching to see if that slope that takes it down towards the Pohoa Village Road will influence in any way the rate of advancement. And as I said earlier, we didn't have structures involved initially, but shortly after 7 this morning, there on the adjacent property to where it entered, the flow was also widening and coming in the northeast direction. So it entered a second parcel directly adjacent to the first on the south side. And there was a what we consider a farm structure. There was an old dwelling that had been used recently for like potting of flowers and had potting materials around. So it wasn't an inhabited structure. It was more of a utility structure. It measured only about 115 square feet. It was very small, about a 10 by 15 square building. So that did burn down, and as a result of the lava coming in contact with it. So currently, our actions are, again, we're maintaining close contact and communication with the community. As you're aware, over the last 3 days, we've been going door-to-door throughout the community using our community emergency response teams and civil defense staff, going door-to-door and just letting people know the status of the flow, as well as we put people on a evacuation advisory based on their location with proximity to the flow path. So we're watching it very closely today. HVO has at least one geologist at the flow front at all times. Other scientists are monitoring conditions in the back to see if there's any other changes, either in indications of spreading, widening, or breakouts. And then we also have our fire department units on the ground at the flow front, prepared to take any actions if we have any other fires not directly related to contact with the flow. So if you can imagine, if we have a brush fire, they'll be putting out the extending brush fire. If we do have a structure involved and there's any exposures, if we mean a second structure that's not in direct contact with the lava, we'll protect that other property. So they are unseen. The road, Pohoa Village Road, remains closed to all traffic except for local residents in that area. We also have within that corridor that's closed the utility companies that are working on protective measures and mitigation for their infrastructure. So they're wrapping poles, raising lines, et cetera. So there's some large equipment in that area, and that's another reason why we're maintaining the restricted access. One is for the safety and security of everyone. Two, to protect the need for an uninterfered evacuation by the residents. And three is to allow for the utility companies to do what they need to do to provide for uninterrupted service if and when the flow comes through. So that's pretty much as far as my observations this morning and what I'd like to report, other than when that structure did burn, there were no hazardous materials involved. It was a wood structure. The smoke did dissipate quite quickly with the trade winds. We didn't have any issues as far as any impact of the smoke in any populated areas. But we do have an advisory as part of our messaging. We can't predict with 100% certainty which winds or how the winds will disperse the smoke as things burn. We will try our best to give a forecast how that impact may be, so people can take what actions they feel are necessary, especially if they're vulnerable, if they have existing healthcare problems or respiratory problems. But you know, we're staying very close contact with HVO and monitoring this flow very carefully and very thoroughly. So if you have any questions for me, I'd gladly entertain
them. Daryl, this is Colin Stewart with the Tribune Herald. Can you tell us, I saw a release last night from the Department of Water Supply that there was likely to be a change in water pressure as a result of the lava. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, what the Water Department was doing yesterday and as planned as part of their response plan to try to provide for uninterrupted service, they were installing valves in the area that is forecasted to be affected by the lava flow. Their intent is as the flow moves through, rather than allow it to go over their subgrade or buried pipe system and cause leakage, which would then create problems with water service to the community, they valved off an area of pipe that would allow them to turn the water off as the lava goes through to not lose their system. If you recall from previous briefings, maybe you were there, is the Water Department has developed or has implemented a strategy to provide for uninterrupted service by bringing on additional wells. There was a well near the Pahoa High School that they brought back online to provide for uninterrupted service. So as the flow goes through, if it breaches any area where there's a pipeline, they'll valve it off or turn off the valves, and then they'll have water supply coming from alternate sources. So the reason for the fluctuations in the water pressure was they were working on the lines to put in those valves, and there may be subtle changes based on the pumping from the different systems as they transition.
Daryl, Chris Lennon from KWXX and D97.
Yes, Chris.
I understand that one of the utility poles, the one that we all saw pictures of that had been wrapped by Helco, has since burned. Is that accurate? And what are your thoughts on that at this point? And are the lines still up? Or have they been able to span the flow?
Sure. Before I comment, I'd like to offer Kristen an opportunity from Helco to chime in if she'd like to say anything. If not, I can give you what I know. But she may have more current information than I have, so if she wants to chime in, Kristen.
Hi, yes, Daryl, thank you. This is Kristen. As far as the Chris's question, we are monitoring the pool closely. We have been monitoring the pool closely, and we do have a crew out there taking a look at it this morning. But currently, we do have no outages due to the lava flow. And if Daryl has anything else to add, I'll let him go ahead.
Sure, thanks. Yeah, just to add a little bit, yes, Chris, to confirm, the pole was maybe affected by the flow below grade. You know, Helco had deployed their protective measures, which included a thermal wrap followed by a concrete collars and wire mesh, and then filling in with very porous cinder material to create an insulation around the pole. But as we know, the lava does move subsurface, so the pole may have been affected below grade and experiencing some impact with the subsurface lava flow and burning. So right now the pole is still erect and upright. The lines are still intact. Helco is working very diligently to try to make sure that the lines that don't come down, they're doing everything they can. As they've always shared, is their goal is to have uninterrupted service. So they are working on that issue right now, and the system is still intact.
Should that pole fail, are they able to span that flow front in that particular location?
Again, let Kristen share with that, because that's an internal technology or engineering question.
Hi, Chris. Yes. Spanning the lines is one of the things that we're considering. We have various contingencies, so it really will depend on the situation. You know, as we said before, we are going to monitor it closely, and we will put into action the plan that best fits that situation. And to reiterate what Daryl says, you know, our goal is to keep the power on as long as it is safe and prudent, and safety is our number one priority.
So, Daryl, Christian, Peter Ferris in Los Angeles Times, just to follow up on that. So I understand this. The pole is standing upright right now. but it somehow is not stable. It could fall over, or what does it look like now?
Well, one of the things that, and again, I'm speaking from observation rather than any engineering background, but the protective measure that was put in place sort of allowed for a wide, like a collar and support around the pole, as not only as part of the insulation, but also to provide more stability to the pole. So it is holding upright very well at this time. But because of what's seen through the thermocoupler with smoke coming out and temperatures that they're reading, there's indication that the pole may have been compromised on the base. And as Kristen said, they're watching it very carefully. So right now, the pole is doing very well in its current position. It's being supported by the protective measure, which, again, I don't think it might have been considered, but I definitely see this as another benefit to the protective measure, and it's given additional life to the pole. Even though it may be burning, it's providing for stability. So it is still intact as far as in its placement and standing upright.
Okay.
Daryl, Tracy from CNN, a quick question on the lava flow. I know yesterday they were talking and concerned about it hitting a dwelling. Did it miss that? And is it on target? What would be the next house that's inhabited that would be in harm's way, I guess?
Sure. Well, yes, yesterday we had identified a residential building or a house. And that was the structure that was in the afternoon report as being about 100 yards from the flow front. The structure that was reported at 70 yards was that farm building that we talked about that burned this morning. So the flow has advanced in a direction, northeast, that allowed it to move somewhat parallel to the residential structure, but maybe Frank might have more information if it's been widening and maybe also extending in a direction closer to that residence. But at this point, it's moved, from what I saw this morning, somewhat parallel and in a direction northeast away from that house. But we know that the flow tends to widen in the back of the advancing front, and you could have a lobe or a finger that's going to extend down to that original structure.
Daryl, Pete Tajaner from KITU 4 News. A resident tried to build or is attempting to build a 12-foot-high berm. Talk about that. Do you recommend residents doing this? Do you have any opinion on that? And just speak overall to the idea of the county not attempting to divert this lava, why that's not a good idea.
Yes, we are aware that those actions or activities were being undertaken. The County Department of Public Works Engineering Division is actually going out to get a better assessment of what's been being done. And the caution that I would throw out is, you know, why diversion has not been explored by government is because when you're talking diversion, you're redirecting the flow, which means that we could be taking it to someone else's property. Given the location of the flow where it's at currently, no matter how you would turn it or steer it or direct it, you'd be directing it to someone's property. That's why government hasn't pursued it. Now, I haven't spoken to the resident myself, but our, like I said, the Department of Public Works Engineering Division is going down to assess the situation.
Thank you.
Sure.
Daryl. Yep. Hi, Daryl. The house, the property where the lava entered at about 4 a.m. this morning. Is that the same property where that couple's home that you mentioned yesterday is?
The structure that burned was on the property that the couple's home was on. So it was actually their garden shack, and the flow is advancing is actually advancing on their neighbor's property.
So that home, that couple's home is no longer the closest structure to the flow?
It still is because the flow, as it's advancing on that the property that it's on, their residence or dwelling is quite a ways downhill. And as I mentioned, there is still a section of the flow just behind the most forward advancing flow front that was widening and maybe getting closer than the 100 yards it was yesterday to where that residence and home that a couple was living in. I haven't been up since this morning on the site, So I couldn't give you where the flow is at currently, and maybe later when you have questions for Frank, he might be able to shed some light on how much it's advanced in the direction of that particular structure based on what they recently observed.
Aloha Chief, Israel with Mahalo Broadcasting. Are the protective measures that were used on the Pa'a Street power line poles going to be used on Pahoa Village Road power line poles?
Yes, they actually are putting in the same protective measures. And again, I would open that up to Kristen to comment what HELCO's doing with their utility poles down on Pahoa Village Road. Kristen, I don't know if you're still on there as far as the protective measures on the pole.
Hi, sorry, folks. I was on the mute. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, the pole protection measures that you see on Pahoa Village Road, those are actually being installed by Hawaiian Telcom, and it's around there. That's a couple of the poles that they installed yesterday.
Kristen, this is Colin Stewart from the Tribune Herald. Can you tell
Colin.
Us right? Hi. Can you tell us right now how many of these protective measures have been installed so far, either by you or by Hawaiian Telcom?
As far as Hawaii Electric Light goes, we installed four of them, and those are on poles that are on Apa'a Street. The ones that you see on Pahoa Village Road are, I believe Hawaiian Telcom is going to be doing three of them, but you would need to confirm with them.
Hello, Jim Carlton with the Wall Street Journal. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. I got on this a little bit late. Could you just please recap where the flow is now in relation to the nearest home, and how many homes total are threatened in Pahoa?
Okay, this is Daryl from Civil Defense. Currently, the flow is located on one of the residential properties that's on the furthest west section of the community there. Nearest to where the flow is coming down. The current leading edge of the flow for the dwelling that's on that property, as of this morning, it was still about almost 200 yards away. However, as I shared, there is a dwelling on an adjacent property that the flow was coming across. You can picture like the intersection of where the two properties adjacent to each other and another large agricultural parcel behind was coming in that corner there. There is a dwelling on that second property that's further to the south, and as of yesterday, it was about 100 yards from the advancing flow front that had a little bit of a lobe pulling off on the side. So those were the two closest properties. There was a farm structure on that second property that burned this morning. It wasn't an inhabited structure. This is just more of a utility building, and the flow continues to advance in a northeast direction. As far as how many homes are possibly in the area of impact, that varies depending on the flow direction and path. But currently, we had conducted door-to-door notifications in that particular section of the community that we estimate were at least 40 to 50 homes.
And one follow-up question, that farm structure, how big was that structure and when did it burn?
It was very small, about a 10 by 15, so 150 square foot structure, and it burned shortly after 7:30 this morning.
And that's just used for as a storage building, or?
Yeah, it was empty actually, but it was obvious that they were using it for like agricultural purposes with like potting of plants, etc.
Okay, but that's the first building that's actually been consumed there in the community.
That's correct.
Okay, thanks.
This is Sherry Bracken with Hawaii Public Radio and Lava 105. Back to the power poles. Kristen, you said that Hawaiian Telcom is the only one doing work on Pahoa Village Road right now, but are those not the same power poles on which the HELCO lines run?
I'm sorry, Sherry, I missed the end of your question. Can you repeat the end portion?
Are those the same, the power poles on which Hawaiian Telcom is working, are those the same power poles where HELCO's lines are running?
Those are actually Hawaiian Telcom poles that they're actually going to be stringing their lines up a little higher than they usually do to account for the radiant heat. And some of those poles, we will be putting some lines at the top. But the the pole protection is actually being installed by Hawaiian Telecom.
Right. So on are all of Helco's lines going to run on those poles, or are there other poles on which Helco lines run? And on those poles, is Helco doing anything to protect those poles?
There are two separate poles. We have our own distribution lines, and if you go on Punahou Village Road, you notice that there's poles on two sides of the street. On one side of the street, those are Hawaiian Telecom poles, and on the other side are the electric utility poles. As far as pole protections, we are not going to be installing pole protections on our poles on Punahou Village Road.
Why are you not going to?
We have other contingency plans for that particular area.
What would those be? Kristen, what are the contingency plans? Since you're not going to wrap the poles, what is Helco going to do to protect the power in that area, please?
Okay, sorry, Shari, can you hear me?
I haven't heard you answer that question. Can you hear me?
Okay, you folks can hear me now. Sorry, I think I got muted or something. Your question was, what are we doing on Punahou Village Road?
That is correct.
Okay. Okay. For Punahou Village Road, what we're going to do is we are going to span the lines on that road between. We're going to actually have a contingency for spanning between those two 70-foot poles. And we're also going to top off some of our other poles there so that if they should be affected by the lava, that they're shorter in height.
So you're basically putting up taller poles, and that the lines will go on those taller poles, right? But you believe the poles will be outside the flow of the lava?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Alex from Reuters. If I could just ask a couple of quick questions. This couple's home that's still somewhat threatened by the lava flow today, is it possible that that home could be destroyed as early as today? Hello?
Hi, this is Darrell. Frank, could I just ask you if you have any information regarding the location of the flow front as it applies to that dwelling, if you had anything current?
Darrell, this is Frank. Right now, we don't have any more current information than what you have on hand.
Okay.
To answer your question, basically this morning what we saw is, yes, that particular home could be threatened and could be affected today if the widening of that load that was coming off just behind the advancing flow front changes. So I will be going up doing another aerial survey shortly, and we'll have information on the status of that home. And if it does, for some reason, become affected, we work through Kevin with pushing information out, and that would be something noteworthy that we would be pushing out as a news release. So we can work together to get that information out to everyone if that happens.
Okay, and just a couple more quick questions. Has that couple been evacuated already?
Yes, most of the, and that's, I guess, where it gets, I don't want to say confusing, but we use the term evacuation. We haven't told people they must leave. We have told them they need to be prepared to leave. The process of doing that, many have chosen, as this couple did, to voluntarily leave ahead of time so they're not stressing over that situation when it does occur. So they've been out of the home. They've been as recent as two nights ago, still packing some last-minute things up. And because they were into horticulture and agriculture, they were actually back yesterday, still collecting some of their plants. But otherwise, they shared with us yesterday that they're completely out and ready to move on. They weren't inhabiting the place.
Okay. And just real quick, do you have any estimate for how many people in the community who might have insurance to protect them from lava flow?
Sorry, I don't have that information as far as the insurance policies and coverage. We do know that we've had comments from the community that there's been varying insurance coverage as they've been sitting down with their own insurance carriers. Some have indicated they do have protection if lava flow affects their home. Others have said in the research they've done that they do not.
Okay. And Daryl, I'm sorry because I'm new to this conference call. How do you spell your name?
First name is D-A-R-R-Y-L. Last name O-L-I-V-E-I-R-A.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Jim Carlson with Wall Street Journal.
Yes.
Forgive me if this has already been covered earlier, but on the status of Highway 130 and the spillway alternate, what's the status of that? If the lava goes all the way to 130, what's the backup plan to have another route to link both sides of Pahoa?
Okay, well, we do have alternate access roads in place. That would be our Railroad Avenue and Beach Road. And the construction with the Chain of Creators Road is ongoing. So as far as alternate routes through the community, we do have two established and a third underway. As far as if you're asking the possible breaching and restoration or protection of 130, that is still being considered by the state highways, who has jurisdiction of that roadway, in discussion with Federal Highways and the Army Corps of Engineers. One of the difficult things is until they know where the flow would actually be affecting the highway, it's hard for them to say with any certainty what might be the strategy. They have identified multiple contingencies. Which contingency they deploy will depend on what area of the highway, what section of the roadway is affected. As I mentioned, breaching was one consideration because the highway in some areas is built up above grade or above ground level, creating a berm that the flow could back up against. So the breaching of the highway would allow the flow to proceed on its normal predicted or terrain path, keeping it hopefully narrow and then allowing for consideration of restoration of the highway sooner. But that's only if the flow doesn't widen and still impact a large area, which is uncertain, but based on the flow history or behavior of the flows, they tend to widen out in the back of the advancing head flow, which means it, some of these mitigations may not be long-term solutions. Short-term relief, but we may still have some problems.
And a follow-up on that. I'm sorry. A follow-up on that. The alternate routes, are those also, do those go up over bridges so they're not going to be hurt no matter what? I mean, you know, how do you get around the lava with these other roads?
Okay, two of the alternate routes, flow was to continue on its path all the way to the ocean, which is a possible scenario. They would be affected, which is why the third alternate access was critical and was probably reported a lot in the news for trying to provide access in a completely different area that wouldn't be vulnerable to the advancing flow. So the two roads are, and the third hopefully would not be affected by some future event.
That'd be up the mountain, right? You'd be going up the mountain more. Yeah.
It's actually going below down closer to the ocean, but it's in an area around where the flow is coming. And then the third one out in Chain of Creators actually goes around through the national park and comes back through the volcano community.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.